From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the North Charleston Performing Arts Center in Charleston, South Carolina, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you. Thank you very much. We feel the same way. It's great to be here in Charleston. Later on, we're going to get celebrated Charleston chef Bob Wagoner on to explain how all those shrimp crawled into our grits. But we left Chicago for one simple reason this week. There is no more Chicago. We knew that Oprah Winfrey was ending her show, but what we didn't expect was that when she was done, her crew would disassemble the skyline and lay off the 3 million extras who were playing, quote, Chicagoans. Anyway, we're looking for substance this week, so give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi,
who's this?
Laura.
Hey, Laura.
From Pasadena.
From Pasadena, California?
Oh, I'm sorry, Pasadena, Maryland.
Pasadena, Maryland?
Yes.
I didn't know there was a Pasadena, Maryland.
It's very small. We're on the water.
Oh, really? So you're out there on the ocean?
The bay.
The bay. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. It's much smaller.
Well, welcome to the show, Laura. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. Joining us here in Charleston, first up, author and humorist with a name sort of familiar to most Americans. It's Mr. Tom Baudet.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Laura. How are you?
Very good.
Next, a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning, Ms. Faith Saley.
Hi, Laura. Hi, Faith.
And lastly, a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber is here.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Adam.
Laura, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes in the week's news. Your job, of course, correctly explain or identify them. Do that two times out of three. You'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on your home voicemail. Ready to go?
Yes, absolutely.
Here is your first quote.
He killed his pint of Guinness. He gets my vote.
That was Christy O'Sullivan, an Irishman talking about a man who displayed his ability to drink Guinness while visiting that country this week. Who?
Oh, that was Barack Obama.
Yes, indeed, it was Barack Obama. It was a successful trip. Not only did the president finish off his Guinness, he then burped out the terms of a new trade agreement. President Obama went to Europe to meet some heads of state and to attend the G8 meeting. He had a serious purpose. He needs our allies to pick up the check for once. He's like, come on, guys, we got bin Laden. Can you cover us in the Libya thing? And then the check comes, and France immediately, boom, disappears to the bathroom. President Obama is popular in Europe, but our media seemed obsessed during this trip with Obama's gaffes. First, he signed, did you see this? He signed the guest book at Westminster Abbey, and he wrote the date as 2008.
Because those were the days.
That was a good year. Yeah.
And then the presidential limo got stuck in a curb. But those weren't really gaffes. It was all part of a very calculated move to shed his elitist image for the coming campaign. It's going to be Obama 2012. He's just like you, kind of dumb. This whole campaign, though, to make the president seem more human really didn't work. For example, when his car got stuck, he yelled, "Doe!" But he spelled it D-E-A-U-X.
You know, you said the media has been obsessed with his gaffes.
Yes.
But did y'all see the pictures of Michelle Obama's hair? There's this great shot of very gusty, and the queen is holding down the bottom of her dress, and Michelle Obama's hair goes vertical. And
As if she had just seen the queen fail to hold down the bottom of her dress. Yes. That'd be the reaction. All right, very good. Here is your next quote.
If I have disappointed you, I will always be sorry.
That was Governor Mitch Daniels of Indiana saying that just like a lot of other Republican politicians, he is not going to do what either?
Oh, he's not going to run for president.
He isn't going to run for president. He said so. That's very good. Yes? Republicans looking for a savior in the 2012 presidential election got two pieces of bad news this week. First, Mitch Daniels said he would not run. And second, former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty said he would. Pawlenty's campaign did not start out well. This is true. It's kind of an omen. His own hometown paper in St. Paul put the news of his official announcement on the obit page.
His slogan is, it's spelled Pawlenty.
In addition to Daniels, Jeb Bush and Paul Ryan also said they wouldn't be running. But just as GOP leaders were despairing that no one would emerge to save them, Sarah Palin came back, saying she had, quote, the fire in her belly. There she was on Fox News talking about something in her belly that was not this time another child. It's like, we thought she was gone. It's like one of those action movies like Alien in which you think the villain is defeated, but then Sarah Palin bursts right through Tim Pawlenty's chest. Which, by the way, would be the only way you can make Tim Pawlenty interesting. In addition to talking about her belly fire, Ms. Palin is planning to tour the country in a large bus, and she is releasing a new documentary this spring about her political career called Undefeated. That's the title. That's the short version. The full title is Undefeated, Except for That One Time. Yeah.
But she's got good numbers, at least according to the Drudge Report I read today. Mitt Romney's at like 17%, and she's behind him at 15%.
But they're the only two that comes to like 32%. Nobody. They don't win if nobody else runs.
And what are the...
A shoe came in at 12%.
Here we go.
A shoe!
It was, however, a right shoe, which was important.
Absolutely.
Republican primary.
And not a loafer. Yeah.
And not a flip-flop.
No.
He's going to be a heel.
Yeah. Here is your last quote.
It has been a really tough weekend.
That was a man named Harold Camping. He was speaking Monday. He was upset that something he predicted for last Saturday night didn't happen. Oh. What?
It's not Reformation. It's everybody getting
up. It's one of those R words. What was supposed to happen?
Revelation,
the rapture, is that
rapture,
what you mean?
That's what it was.
Yeah, it's the end of the world is what we're talking about.
I thought you said Reformation.
I know all you guys follow the news pretty closely, so you may have noticed the world did not end on Saturday night. You were probably as disappointed as Mr. Camping was in this, as you were looking forward to either going to heaven or stealing the large screen TVs of those who did.
Didn't he say that it was just fuzzy math, though? Didn't he say it's going to happen this fall?
Yeah.
October. Well, this is the funny thing. I mean,
it's going to be cold in the fall. I would rather the rapture happen
now.
It's
sort of a slow burn rapture.
Here's the thing. He keeps predicting specific dates. He's done this twice before, if you include this time. He's done it the third time. He says it'll happen October, I think.
Yeah, if anybody ever needed to learn the suffix ish.
Yeah.
That guy.
Carl, how did Laura do in our quiz?
Laura, you played a perfect game. 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done, Laura. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for playing.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Faith, we know that in World War II, the Nazis made great efforts to get every military advantage, including strange plans for secret weapons. This week, we learned from a new book that they attempted to create a fighting force composed of what?
Dogs.
Yes, but not just dogs. Dogs that could talk. Nazi talking dogs. A book published in Britain this week reveals the existence of a school set up in Germany soon after the Nazi takeover to teach dogs to speak, read, and even spell. One dog supposedly learned to tap out letters with his paw. He was said to speculate about religion and write poetry, although, of course, it was just doggerel.
They had some intelligence from America that America had already trained him to play poker.
So.
They figured.
Look, we have this picture. If they can play cards.
Another dog was said to be able to answer the question, who is Adolf Hitler, by barking, Mein Führer! Although he then barked under his breath, and what a complete putz.
I wonder, what would be the advantage of a dog army that could talk? I mean, just a dog army seems like enough.
Yeah. You know?
Right. And they have jetpacks.
Right.
And?
No, well, the idea was that, you know, these dogs, if you could teach them to talk, they can communicate with you and you can give them more elaborate jobs like, you know, soldier jobs and so on and so forth.
I mean, they only teach Marines to say yes, sir.
That's true. But the program failed because the dogs became too smart and introspective.
And then he realized that the really smart, funny dogs were Jewish.
Exactly. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Patricia de Oliveira.
Hey, how are you, Patricia?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Where are you calling from?
Galt, California.
Galt, California?
Yes.
Where in the world is Galt?
It's in between Sacramento and Lodi.
Lodi.
Where the heck is Lodi?
Okay, in between Sacramento and Stockton.
You want to keep going?
Yeah, let's just... You're out there west somewhere. That's all I need to know. Well, welcome to the show, Patricia. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Patricia's topic?
Come back, Oprah!
This week marked the end, of course, of the Oprah Winfrey Show. Millions of people are already feeling her absence. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories of people suffering unexpected consequences from Oprah's leave-taking. Only one of them, though, is real. Your job, pick, of course, that real story. Ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's hear first from Mr. Adam Felber.
Nick Licare got the inside dope on Oprah's final taping, so he knew that the goddess of talk was planning on one-upping her 2004 stunt and giving every attendee not a car, but a brand new home. Yes, grateful Oprah was going to build or rebuild a home for every single audience member. So Nick did the only sensible thing and cleared his lot by bulldozing a substantial portion of his two-bedroom house. Which made it all the more painful when, at the tear-filled taping at the United Center, Oprah didn't give away anything but love, and Licare was rendered homeless. I thought I'd get a head start, said Licare. My cousin swore that he heard it straight from one of Oprah's producers. He was wrong, or possibly he was messing with me.
A guy who destroyed his own home in the faith that Oprah would give him a new one. Your next story of someone living the worst day of their best life now comes from Faith Saley.
Bob Coley is not writing in his gratitude journal today. That's because Coley, who calls himself a spiritual engineer, has spent the last 4 years designing the perfect item to be picked for the annual Oprah's Favorite Things episode, a segment that will never air again now that the Big O has packed up her things and gone home. Coley studied hundreds of favorite things over the last decade and composed an algorithm to create the ultimate thing. With Oprah, he says, you want some combination of God, beauty, and food. Coley's first attempt was a fat-free brownie mix with a baking pan that would leave imprints of Oprah's spiritual aphorisms. He admits that didn't work because the viscosity of the mix made it hard to read things like what I know for sure on the bottom of a brownie. And the power of now UGG boots, which delivered shocks of gratitude to reflexology points, didn't test well. But Coley had his aha moment when he manifested a pair of jeans that he claims, quote, lift your butt and your spirit. He calls them the Live Your Best Life jeans, and their Spanx-like material was supposed to be woven through with threads blessed by the Dalai Lama. I was this close last fall, Coley says, but the Dalai Lama's lawyers were playing hardball. So I'm waiting on offers from Nelson Mandela and Celine Dion.
A guy whose business plan of selling the ultimate Oprah's favorite thing came to an end with her show. And your last story of someone suffering Oprah oppression comes from Tom Baudette.
Robert Spearing is one of those husbands who make the rest of us look bad. While we were doing what we could to avoid watching it on TV, Spearing drove his wife from their home in Ontario, Canada, all the way to Chicago to be in the audience for Oprah's final show. He probably likes to cuddle, too. But events took a dark turn for Spearing when he wound up in a Chicago hospital with cuts and bruises and no Oprah tickets in his pocket. He'd been robbed, he said. Thugs beat him and took the tickets, he cried. I bet he cried. But Chicago police, knowing their hometown muggers better than Canadians do, doubted they'd bother with the Oprah tickets, and upon further questioning got Spearing to admit he never had them in the first place. And rather than tell his wife the truth, he scraped up his hands on the pavement, bashed his own head with a rock, and made up the rest. The good news, my fellow married men, we're looking pretty good again.
All right. So here are your choices. Oprah ending her show meant bad news for one of these people. Was it from Adam Felber, a guy who wrecked his own home in the faith that Oprah was about to give him a new one? From Faith, the guy whose business plan of creating the perfect favorite thing for Oprah to endorse came to an end when Oprah's show did? Or from Tom Baudet, a guy who ended up faking his own mugging to cover up his failure to get tickets to Oprah's last show? Which of these is the real story of Oprah Winfrey's dark legacy?
Well, I want to say the third one, but I'm going to go with the first one.
Well, wait a minute. Why did you want to say the third one?
It just sounds more feasible.
You're picking Adam's story of the guy who bulldozed his own house, believing that Oprah would give him a new one because it's more feasible? What are you doing? Let her choose. She chose me. All right, hold on. What did you say?
I said, I'm going to go with the third story.
It's too late. No, wait a minute. No, it's not too late.
Third story.
So you're going to go with the third story now. The audience is happy. Adam's upset. But you're going to go with Tom's story, the third story of the guy who faked the mugging. Is that your story? That's your choice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we actually spoke to a reporter who covered this true life tragedy.
They had him confessing that he had roughed himself up to mimic, you know, injuries from a scuffle or
there you
a
go. That was William Lee. He's a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. He covered the story for them of the guy who faked the mugging to hide his failure to get Oprah tickets. So let's see what's happened. First of all, you've won our prize. You eventually picked the correct story, so you've won our prize. Carl's voice in your home answering machine. You've earned a point for Tom for being truthful, and you have earned Adam's undying enmity for me. So a good day's work. Congratulations, Patricia. Thank you so much for playing. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And now the game where we invite on people who excel at one thing and ask them to do something else entirely. Chef Bob Wagoner cooked all over the world before finding a cool place to work in Charleston, South Carolina. He was head of the esteemed Charleston Grill here, and he is the host of the PBS show You Cook with Chef Bob. Bob Wagoner, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Great to have you here.
Thank you for having me. What a treat. Excited to be here.
So let's talk food. You're known for your expertise with what's Southern haute cuisine.
Yes.
What is that? Is that like you eat your mac and cheese with a silver spork? What is that?
Well, I've spent a lot of time in Burgundy, 11 years in France, learning how to cook with some of the top chefs in France.
Right.
And brought a lot of what I learned in France to the Lowcountry.
Did you have to prove yourself to these people when you showed up? That you were going to respect their cuisine?
Pretty much, just like anywhere you get in. And of course, coming from France, and I'd spent a little bit of time in Nashville before I came here, they said, I'd like you to play with some of the southern things, play with some of the, you know, grits and things like that. And my initial taste of grits was in a very inexpensive hotel for breakfast one day, and it was as close to wallpaper paste as you can get. So I was thinking, that's going to be a tough one.
What's the secret to grits, Bob?
Stone ground. Fresh stone ground, the true quality. There's the great. What it is what they'll do is you'll see the corn, and it's not that we forgot to pick the corn, but you'll see the corn out in the fields, and it'll be dry and looking tired, and you'll be driving by going, these guys don't even pick their corn in this state. So anyway, what they'll do is they'll keep it on the husk, and then when the chefs will order it, they'll actually take the corn off and grind it to order. So
that's
all those
what grits
incredible.
Is?
It's the actual the corn.
It was a fish.
I just know it's delicious. I never thought about whence it came.
Did you not know that grits were corn?
No.
She keeps looking for it at the
zoo.
But
I was probably 24 before I realized pickles were cucumbers once.
Pickles are cucumbers?
Aren't they?
Next thing you'll be saying that toast is bread.
you're a really nice guy, and you're very warm, and you obviously want to make cooking accessible to people. But when you were training in France, were they hardcore with young chefs?
They were definitely tough. It was tough because I didn't speak a lot of French. I thought I did, listening to my tapes in Hollywood, going every day, driving and listening to these tapes, saying, bien sûr, avec plaisir, and, you know. 11 years later, married to a French woman and my daughter, and lived in Burgundy 11 years, never did I hear a French person say, bien sûr, avec plaisir. It just doesn't... Which actually means, why not? With pleasure, which I don't think they do. So right. Maybe that's what it is. But I paid money for these tapes.
As a student of French myself, was it ever true that Pierre worked in the library? Because I kept hearing
rich.
That he did, yes.
Michel does go to the plage.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it. So you're over there. You mean you have to prove yourself? Because they're pretty hardcore when it comes to cooking. Did you ever do anything that you were like going out and to impress them, to win them over?
Well, you know what? It was just stayed in the back and showing what I knew and organizational skills. And I knew how to break down baby chickens and things right. like that. So I was faster than they
break them
could,
first?
So.
Yes.
You broke them. Oh, we
you
will broke break
them down. You have to make them feel bad about
You're
themselves.
You're not as cute as you think you are. What's the worst thing you've ever made?
I'd say tripe. Stomach.
Really?
Stomach. Veal stomach.
And it was undelicious?
It was undelicious.
Really?
Yeah. It's when it's done really well, it's spectacular. And that's rare.
Right. Well, in France, where you trained, they eat parts of animals I didn't even know existed.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did a dish, one of the 3-star Michelin restaurants, we did a pigeon, and we would stuff it inside the spleen of a pig. And you would you would put the whole pigeon inside this
Wait a minute.
Spleen, like a balloon.
So you take
sort
a spleen.
Like, take the
here's
pig,
the recipe. Take one spleen.
Spleen.
Take the pigeon. Stuff it in the spleen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then
it's like a balloon. It's big enough, so you can get it in there pretty easy.
Do you have to like inflate the spleen or go?
No. It doesn't. Right.
Do you have to lubricate the pigeon?
Yeah. There is some pork fat involved.
All right. So
the hardest thing is persuading the pigeon.
Guys.
It's talking the pigeon in going to get him in there.
Now, I'm no way I'm going
no,
in there.
No. Guys, he's making my mouth water. Go on. Pigeon into the spleen. Now
one
what?
Spleen.
One spleen.
One pigeon.
Then what?
Inside the pigeon we're stuffing the pigeon with foie gras. So
right.
Duck liver stuffed inside the pigeon. Port. Half a bottle of port, almost inside. So
inside
port,
what?
Inside the spleen. So
makes
now it's like a balloon.
They got you get port. You got pigeon.
That's how we get them in.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
You get a pigeon drunk enough, there's no end to where he'll go. All right. So
I'll
the pigeon
anywhere.
And the port is in the spleen, and now what?
Foie gras in the pigeon.
Right.
And then
the
then you order out
chopped truffles, and then we tie.
All right. So anyway, so
truffles.
So, all right, go on.
You got me at truffles.
You truffles. Yeah. Truffles
in. Yeah. Tie up the spleen.
With what?
Kitchen.
Spleen
kitchen
string.
Kitchen.
Okay.
Kitchen string.
Uh-huh.
Baked in the oven.
And at some point the pigeon starts going, say, wait a minute.
And then, so at some point you said the spleen what?
The spleen will blow up like a bubble.
Yes.
Like a balloon. And at that point it's 18 minutes. It's cooked to a perfect medium rare. And then they'll take that
out.
For
people taking notes at home, about what oven
18
temperature?
18 minutes at 375.
375, all right.
18 minutes. And this is baked, and then it's brought out in a very traditional French way to the table with this spleen balloon with a pigeon in it. And then, of course, the waiters will puncture the spleen balloon and all these incredible aromas of port and foie gras and truffles.
And a lovely sound.
And a lovely sound, of course.
On the theory that everything sounds better in French, what is that dish called in French?
Pigeon en vessie farci au foie gras.
Well, I could have come up with that.
So they bring it out to the table, and then they literally vent the spleen.
Yes.
That's what's going on.
And on that note... Well, Bob Wagoner, we've invited you here to play a game we're calling...
It's Delicious. You just have to be willing to chew it for a while.
You are known, as we've said, for Southern haute cuisine. We're going to ask you about Northern cuisine. Way Northern cuisine. Answer 3 questions correctly. You'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their voicemail. Carl, who is Chef Bob Wagoner playing for?
Bob is playing for Sean Long of North Charleston, South Carolina.
All right.
Oh, good. Local.
First question. One of the things they just love up in Greenland is something the native Inuit call matak. Matak. What is matak? A. Harp seal testicles. B. The rawhide of the narwhal, you know, the unicorn of the sea. Or, well, It's just their name for spam. They really love spam.
The unicorn thing would probably be the most interesting.
The narwhal?
Yeah, the narwhal thing.
Yeah. You're going to go for the narwhal?
I'm probably going to go for the narwhal when it all comes
well,
down
you have to
it.
Well, you have to
yes,
commit.
I'd yes, I'd like to go with the
you're
narwhal.
You're right. It's the narwhal hide. Raw narwhal hide.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Huh?
Although, if you're having guests and there's no narwhal in the larder, you can use a white whale hide. So there you go. You know what? You know what's a great way to prepare narwhal? Stuff it in a spleen.
Yeah. A whale spleen.
Next question. Over in Iceland, if you stop in for dinner with some friends, they might give you some hákarl, which is a delicacy made of shark. If you're eating hákarl for the first time, you might get what advice on how to eat it? A, hold your nose as you eat it. B, make sure you have a bucket nearby. Or C, get very drunk first. Something they tell you if you're eating hákarl for the first time.
Hákarl? Any hákarl specialist?
Any hákarl fans?
Sounds like a bucket nearby to me.
Mm. I'm thinking you'd probably want to drink something.
Yeah. So you're going to go for that? They like.
What are you thinking?
They
drink
like
something?
Sin.
But it's probably going to smell pretty bad. I'm going to go with the aroma. You probably should plug your nose. Yeah.
You're right.
Yes.
Turns out that this shark meat is allowed to rot and ferment, which makes it edible, and it has a very pungent smell of ammonia, but apparently it doesn't taste as bad as it smells, so you want to hold your nose when you eat it, at least the first time.
They must have trained in France.
They must have. That spleen is sounding pretty good after
yeah,
those. All
right. Yeah.
Finland, another northern country, has its own national cuisine. The nation endured a food-related diplomatic crisis when which of these happened? A, a dinner with President Bill Clinton and his family went awry when Chelsea Clinton refused to eat the entree, roast moose, saying, I won't eat Bullwinkle. B, Italian President Silvio Berlusconi launched a campaign against Finnish cuisine, saying, quote, Finns don't even know what prosciutto is. Or C, the Finns contributed food aid to Africa, 100 tons of smoked reindeer meat, and the starving refugees sent it back.
Good luck with this one.
Let's go with Bill Clinton's daughter.
I wish, but no, it was actually Berlusconi. Berlusconi has been on a jihad against Finnish cuisine for some years. Said they don't know what good food is. I guess he's not a big fan of lutefisk bolognese. All right, Carl, how did Chef Bob do in our quiz?
Chef Bob had 2 correct answers, Peter, and that's good enough to win for Sean Long.
Oh, well done. Right. Congratulations. Bob Wagoner's new show is called You Cook with Chef Bob. It's on PBS. Chef Bob Wagoner, thank you so much for being on the show with WaitWait.com.
Have a banana, Hannah. Try the salami, Tommy. Give it the gravy, Davy. Everybody eats when they come to my house. Try a tomato plate, too. Here's Cacciatore, Dory.
In just a minute, Carl brings the noise and brings the rhyme in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Adam, having successfully raided Osama bin Laden's hideaway, the Navy SEAL Team 6 has now defeated yet another dangerous enemy. Who?
An actual SEAL.
No.
Evil SEAL.
No, not an evil SEAL.
Oh, Disney.
Yes, they defeated Disney.
Man, they are bad.
They are bad.
Oh.
There were rumors that later turned out to be false that Mickey tried to shield himself with Minnie Mouse, but no.
No.
Just a day or so after the raid on bin Laden's compound, Disney sent its crack team of lawyers on a daring midnight raid to trademark the term SEAL Team 6 by them for use in everything from feature films to, and this is true, snow globes.
Yeah.
And amusement park attractions. What would a SEAL Team 6 ride be like? Sort of like the It's a Small World boat ride, except you shoot all the animatronic figurines and then dump them in the water.
In a movie, it would have been exactly like what happened, except SEAL Team 6 would have been a lovable bunch of ragamuffins coached by Emilio Estevez.
Exactly. Adam, the Harry Potter movies got dark as they went on. Batman and even Willy Wonka were remade in very dark, bleak versions. Yet another childhood favorite is getting reimagined as a brooding epic filled with menace. It'll be based on what?
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
No.
It's already got guns in it.
No.
Pippi Longstocking.
No.
No, 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 no. I've got this. Don't tell me. The Cat in the Hat Comes Back. Hold on, Peter. Hold on. It's, can you give me a hint?
Well, it's not a book. In the climactic battle, many will die at Gumdrop Mountain.
Candyland.
Yes, Candyland. In the words of the director of the proposed Candyland movie, quote, "We envision it as Lord of the Rings, but set in a world entirely made of candy."
Yeah,
so instead of trying to destroy a tremendously powerful weapon while avoiding an army of pure evil, we assume the hero will try to devour a mountain of gumdrops while avoiding his dentist.
Is this movie going to go on endlessly like the game?
Yeah, it is the longest hours of my life I've been spent on a Candyland board.
You can get trapped in that game literally for a weekend.
Yeah, because you're almost out, and then you pull the damn thing that sends you back to the beginning.
Yes.
And your toddler's like, so thrilled.
Well, it's going to be that, but with Johnny Depp.
Right. Tom, a spacewalk on the second-to-last shuttle mission almost had to be aborted when what happened to the astronaut?
Oh, he got something in his eye.
He got what in his eye?
He got a, I don't know.
Well, he should never have tried to shampoo in a weightless environment.
A piece of hair in his eye? No.
No.
A piece of soap.
He got soap in his eye.
What?
The American astronaut was...
On a spacewalk?
Yeah, that's the funny thing. He was in his fifth hour of the spacewalk. He was doing some...
I thought they shampooed inside the shuttle.
Oh, no.
They don't have indoor plumbing on the shuttle. They go out for that. I didn't know this.
Yes, the shuttle has an outhouse. That's why we discontinued the program.
Well, it is. When you think about it, it is 70s technology.
Yeah.
So, you know, he eventually got it. It was crazy. He had soap in his eye. It was a tough day in near-Earth orbit. First, the astronaut closed the airlock on his finger, and then he was so distracted, he did three Earth orbits, you know, with his left blinker on the whole way. And then, you know, he dealt with the soap in his eye. He used a high-tech instrument called a paper towel. And then, you know, he thought it was cool. He finished the job. He thought he looked good on national TV. And then he went back inside, only to discover he had done the whole spacewalk, 5 feet of toilet paper trailing off his boot.
That's embarrassing.
Oh, worst situation to leave your fly open, too.
Yeah.
Terrible. I'd like, you know how those, you know, you hear their dialogue between command control and the shuttle and the astronaut. It's always so, you know, professional and crisp. Did they play that? Did we hear that at all?
It was transcribed. I read a report. Yeah. He was talking to his colleague.
It's like, Houston, I got soap in my eye.
Yeah.
Come again.
There you go.
At least now we know that is between talking. It's the shower.
Yeah. Now it's time for a little game we like to call...
Extra, extra, read all about it.
I love it when you put on your knickers and your little newsboy cap.
I do.
Panel, Carla's going to read each of you three headlines that we found in a newspaper or online. Only one of them, though, is real, though. Pick that real one, you'll get a point. Ready to go? Faith, this comes from the movie site Rotten Tomatoes. Was it...
Angelina Jolie to adopt Jennifer Aniston.
Or...
Studios, we'll stop making crap when you stop paying to see it.
Or...
Thor finishes on top of bridesmaids.
I like the image of three, so I'm going with it.
You're right. It was a good weekend for Thor and for the bridesmaids. All right, Adam, from a Fox affiliate in New York, some animal news. Was it...
Acute puppy causes acute injury.
Or...
Alligator not expected at sentencing.
Or...
Pony pilferer ponies up pilfered ponies.
I'm going to go with the alligator. The
alligator not expected at sentencing. You're right, it was not there. The man was charged with keeping the gator as a pet illegally. The crime usually comes with a built-in punishment. All right. Tom, this is from WYFFN, South Carolina. This crime story.
Man busted for impersonating a police officer by man impersonating a police officer.
Or...
Strip search finds crack between buttocks.
Sorry.
Let me know when I can go on, Faith. I got one more. Or...
Man claiming to be the real son of Sam, actually son of man named Jerry.
Well, I'm gonna have to go with the
Do Faith a favor.
The crack in the butter. Yeah. For two reasons. One is to so I don't want to let Faith up, and the other is because that's where cracks are.
Yeah, that's true. That's the one, the South Carolina deputy.
Well done, sir.
Very surprised to find a bag of crack cocaine between the buttocks of the suspect. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can also find out about attending our weekly live shows back at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show in Nashville, Tennessee, June 30th. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Martin Muniel from Barnesville, Georgia.
Hey, how are things in... I don't even know where Barnesville, Georgia is.
Barnesville, Georgia is about an hour and 50 minutes south of Atlanta.
Oh, okay. I think people are calling in this week from completely fictional places.
Yeah,
I think they're all making it up. What do you do there in that supposedly real place?
I am an English professor.
Are you really?
I am.
I was an English major.
Oh, wonderful.
Thanks for nothing. I'm sorry. I shouldn't take it out on you. I loved it. Mark, welcome to our show. Carl Castle is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in the last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you'll be a winner. And because you are an English professor, we want you to explain their meaning. Here's your first limerick.
Our casino brings bugs to their knees, or the itching's too bad to appease. To earn gambling dollars, croupiers put on collars to try to get rid of those...
Please.
Right. A casino in New Zealand is battling a flea infestation, and they thought, well, we could clean the place, but isn't there an anti-pest solution that also dehumanizes our workers? Yes! So now the workers are wearing flea collars. It's working, maybe all too well. Gamblers have found they can now tip dealers with kibble or distract them with laser pointers. All right, here's your next limerick.
My new sweater is nothing to flog. It's from yarn that leaves most couches clogged. My pet I do brush, for his hair is quite plush. I make wool from the hair of my...
dog.
Right. Ever looked at your dog and thought, I would look great in that fur? Well, you're crazy, but you're not alone. According to a report in the Wall Street Journal, more and more knitters are making sweaters from their own dog's fur. Nothing is cozier. It's like having your entire torso humped by warmth.
Could that possibly be comfortable? I mean, dogs scratch all the time. If it itches them...
Only if they've been to a casino in New Zealand. But.
Yeah.
All right, here's your last limerick.
Yes, sulking's the name of the game. That's why moody guys get all the dames. Don't come on too strong. Make them think you've done wrong. 'Cause ladies love looks of true...
shame?
Right. You know that old saying, nice guys finish last? We'll add a new clause to that, nice guys finish last, and guys crippled by shame finish first. According to a groundbreaking Canadian study, women are most attracted to men who exhibit obvious signs of shame, as in lowered heads and averted eyes. I'm doing it now so as to drive you ladies wild.
It was just like 3 weeks ago there was a study on this show that women were attracted to men who put their heads back when they talk, looking down their noses.
Right, so you're supposed to put your heads back, close your eyes, and avert them in shame.
Shame, yes.
It just sounds like being attractive is very hard on the neck.
Yeah. Carl, how did Mark do in our quiz?
Well, Mark was correct 3 times, Peter, so he wins our prize.
Well done, sir. Congratulations. Thanks so much for playing.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
Adam Felber and Tom Baudet are tied for first. They both have 4 points. Faith Saley has 3.
All right. Faith, you are in third place, so you're going to be up first. Please fill in the blank. Cities across the Midwest struggled to cope with the series of blanks that hit this week.
Tornadoes.
Right. On Thursday, the Senate voted to extend three key provisions of the blank act that were due to expire.
Patriot.
Right. On Thursday, the Supreme Court upheld an Arizona law that revokes the business licenses of companies that hire blank.
Illegal aliens.
Right. At his corruption trial on Thursday, former Illinois Governor blank finally took the stand in his own defense.
Blagojevich.
Right. After photos surfaced showing its sales agent snorting cocaine, a German insurance company said it's not what it looks like. They were just blanking.
They were snorting salt in a tequila drinking game.
Right. Changing its decades-old guidelines, the USDA announced that it is safe to cook blank to only 145 degrees.
Pork.
Yes. During an interview with David Letterman on his show Monday night, singer blank ate Letterman's note card.
Oh, Lady Gaga.
Yes. Police in Hampshire, England armed themselves with tranquilizer guns and got in a helicopter to chase down a blank.
Runaway president of the United States.
No. A toy stuffed tiger. Residents noticed a white tiger lying for hours without moving in a field near a golf course. They knew it must be an escaped killer animal and they feared for their lives. To be fair, the life-sized plush toy was making an especially scary, growly face. Carl, how did Faith do on our quiz? Pretty well, I think.
Very well, Peter. 7 correct answers. Wow. 14 more points. She now has 17 points and the lead.
Very well done. We flipped a coin. Adam's elected to go next. Fill in the blank. The Washington Post reported Thursday that Pakistan has given the CIA permission to search blank's compound.
Osama bin Laden.
Right. A federal judge ruled Wednesday that Jared Loughner, the man charged with shooting blank, was not competent to stand trial.
Gabby Gifford.
Right. On Thursday, a Wisconsin judge struck down a new law taking away almost all blank rights from state workers.
Collective bargaining.
Right. Although the release was threatened by a lawsuit over the use of a copyrighted tattoo, the movie Blank opened as scheduled.
Oh, The Hangover 2.
Right. A town in Australia is offering a reward to anyone who finds the rat that blanked.
Won the mayorship.
Stole a woman's false teeth. NFL player Hines Ward beat out actress Kirstie Alley to win this season of TV's Blank.
Dancing with the Stars.
Right. NASA announced Wednesday that it would stop trying to contact one of the rovers currently on blank.
Mars.
Right. An 18-year-old county dairy princess in Washington State will compete for the state title next month, despite the fact that she is blank.
A vegetarian.
No, lactose intolerant.
Ah.
Laurel Gordon has held the county title for 2 years, sneaking glasses of heretical soy milk when the cameras weren't looking. But her family is in the dairy business, and she hopes the Washington State Dairy Princess Crown will help her on her way to the Miss Irony USA title. Carl, how did Adam do in our quiz?
Adam had 6 correct answers for 12 more points. He now has 16 points, but Faith Saley still has the lead with 17.
Oh, my gosh. So how many, then, will Tom need to win?
7 correct answers.
All right, Tom. Tall order. Fill in the blank. On Wednesday, the Senate voted down a GOP budget plan that would have dramatically revamped blank.
Medicare.
Right. Hundreds of flights in Europe were canceled this week because of ash from an Icelandic blank.
Volcano.
Right. Because overcrowding violates the ban on cruel and unusual punishment, the Supreme Court ordered California to reduce its blank population.
Prisons.
Right. In a speech before a joint meeting of Congress, blank said he was open to, quote, painful compromises for peace.
Benjamin Netanyahu.
Right. A Chicago lawyer is claiming his opponent in a small claims case is trying to influence the jury with blank at his table.
Oh, a woman with large breasts.
Buxom woman, yes. SI.com reported this week that Mike Brown would take over Phil Jackson's spot as the coach of the blank.
The Lakers.
Right. 29.3 million viewers tuned in to see country singer Scotty McCreery win this season's blank.
Oh, the American Idol.
Right. A New Zealand truck driver who fell on a tank of compressed air was accidentally blanked.
Oh, God, he inflated himself.
Yes, he did.
Like a spleen.
Yeah, yes. Like a spleen. Yeah, he blew up like a spleen.
But not nearly so tasty.
Stephen McCormack knew he was in trouble when he fell into the compressed air tank nozzle because, quote, I was blowing up like a football. McCormack said the quick thinking of his coworkers probably saved his life, and he promised to invite them to his new job as the main attraction at this year's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
He was actually rescued by a team of Oompa Loompas.
What do you get when you fall on a nozzle?
Wait for the air to come out your schnozzle.
Carl, did Tom do well enough to win?
Tom needed 7 correct answers. He had 8 correct answers.
Well done. That's amazing.
Tom Bodett is the
I did not
champion.
Think that could be done. And you did it.
Well, thank you.
Wow. That was awfully impressive, Tom.
Oh, so you really didn't have to give me that point of Adams earlier
no,
in the game.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
In in just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists how Oprah will spend her extra time every day now that she's not taping a daily talk show. But first, let me tell you all that. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world on the web at hewlett.org. Motel 6, with more than 1,100 locations nationwide and online reservations, details at motel6.com. Tom!
Where they'll leave the light on for you.
They will. And Chase, offering the Marriott Rewards Premier credit card. Details at marriottpremier.com/radio. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Mr. Doug Berman, executive producer. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our intern this week is Amy Solomon. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to the crew at the North Charleston Performing Arts Center and Debbie Hamlin and John Gaskett, SCTV. B.J. Litterman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Eva Walter, over and Emily Ecton, with help this week from Blythe Haga and the irrepressible Travelin' Arnie Seipel. Technical direction from Butters Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Mike Danforth. Now, panel, how will Oprah spend her time now that she's got a couple extra hours every day? Adam Felber.
She's going to have famous and interesting guests to her house every afternoon, invite them to make themselves comfortable on her couch, and then tell them, oh, shut the hell up.
Faith Saley.
I'm thinking some Pabst Blue Ribbon and a lot of Judge Judy.
Tom Baudette.
Realizing too late she took her show off the air before inviting me, Tom Baudette, to appear, she will spend her days wondering how she'll ever make it up to me, Tom Baudette.
And if Oprah does any of those things, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you to Carl Castle. Thanks also to Adam Felber, Faith Saley, Tom Baudette. Thanks to you guys here in Charleston, South Carolina. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We will see you next week! This is NPR.